Okay, now we get on to our question and answer segment, which has three topics. This is a re-recording of the original one that I did on Sunday. I had a microphone problem, and hopefully this will solve that problem. The first question comes from Alan. When will the China market top? And then Jeff asks about the volume strength and what it might mean. And then Steve wants to know why my volume oscillator calculations, which are at the top of the charts, differ from the ones that the McClellan oscillator people post at the link, which is at the bottom of the chart. Let's take a look at the China question first. You might remember when we were looking for the double bottom for the advanced decline line that I noted that China had a T in it, which projected that the top would come in, that a top of some significance would come in the latter part of the year. The reason that, that forecast comes up with an earlier top than the August of 2010 top is that it actually bottomed back in November. So it's gotten ahead of itself. It's very strong, but now it's running into headwinds because it is moving up with much greater momentum, and it's no longer a cheap fund. This question reveals a lot of the goings on between the two constructions for the current short range T in my charts, and so I think it'd be good for me to come down through the series of the corrections that lead to my final answer, which is I think that the China fund will do fine going into the mid-October peak. Alan said, that looking at the charts, he thought that there was an early November top when he took the argument that I expressed back some months ago and applied it on a detailed basis to the weekly or daily charts. The answer is that the difference between an early November top, which is probably just a refinement of my original idea, and a mid-October top, is contained in the two charts that we're discussing today. You'll notice that, in the volume oscillator chart, I put the center post all the way into the lowest low of the market, which was would make the T somewhat longer, and that T is probably forecasting a early November peak. That T won't come out right because if you look at the advanced decline line chart, you see that you made a double bottom, and we know from history that every time you make a double bottom in the advanced decline line, the projection really, for as far as the center post location is concerned, is not accurate unless you split the double bottom. So in the advanced decline chart, the center post has been moved to an earlier time, and that gets you into the October 15th time period. So basically, it's about a week and a half shift in the center post location back saves you, I believe, the risk that you're going to run over the top if you start believing the early November peak derived from the volume oscillator. So the short-term answer to that question is that I think that the China fund will top out in the mid-October time period. When we get there, there are other little provisions that we can use to make sure that we don't fall off that T, because that correction will be more substantial. Basically, it'll go from the red line, which is the upper limit in that time period, right it'll cut right through the black line and go all the way down to the green line. So it is an important issue for the intermediate term, but China's a great fund, and it's the leader. It's just that it's getting ahead of itself, so it might be choppy going along. But the straight answer is that I think it's mid-October. And so let's take a little pause there, and then we'll go on to the next question. Now, Jeff is talking about these. Notice that as we came up to the little black T, the volume oscillator, or the volume numbers, and then the volume oscillator began to perk up, and is that bullish? This is a this is one of those arguments that is a there's a divergence going on between the volume and the breadth figures. The arms ratio is looking at the ratio, and it's trying to make a determination as to how you explain this divergence in terms of whether it's a good idea, is it a bad idea. Generally speaking, I would say that right now the volume is running ahead of the breadth, which means that the arms ratio numbers are well under one, and that's a sign of a toppiness. Before we got to the endpoint of the small black T there, I did comment the arms ratio was a high number, which meant that the now we're both talking about uptrends in here, so it's better to have the breadth running ahead of the volume when you're coming up, because there's an old concept in Wall Street, which is to the effect that you have the market divided into troops led by a general, which was a few small blue chip companies are called the generals, and then the breadth figures, which is refers to the 3,000 stocks on the New York Stock Exchange, they're the troops. And then when the volume is strong, what you say is that the generals are leading, but the troops are not following, and that's usually a bad sign because you have a narrow interest in a few stocks, and the relative lagging in the advanced decline line is a sign that you're getting toppy in the broad market, and that toppiness is being disguised by strength in a few well-known stocks. It's called the narrowing of the breadth, and it's usually a sign of a top. Earlier, before we got into that top, we had the reverse situation. We had the advanced decline line was doing very well, and the volume was lagging, and that's a sign of skepticism. Big money doesn't want to buy the bullish story, but the market technically was moving ahead. Now, the ratio was changing back and forth every couple of weeks, so you know, we're not talking about any kind of permanent situation. But in general, I would say that the stronger volume here is good in a sense that it's convincing the people who are skeptics to put money in the market, even though the market's overbought and probably is making a topping formation. And sometimes you just have to do that. In actuality, half the time the volume is running ahead of the breadth, and half the time the breadth is running ahead of the volume. So you have to take it philosophically as an alternating a phenomenon. But the interpretation here is that the strength in the volume relative to the breadth is part of a confirmation of the topping. And when you get a correction, and we get that little down to the zero line and so forth, when you come out, you probably see that the breadth is going to run stronger than the volume, because they're all going to be afraid of the correction period. And then when you come up, you'll see that the volume starts to catch up with the breadth, and then maybe surpasses it at the next top. Okay, so that I hope answers that the question from Jeff about relative to it. The one redeeming feature of it is it means people are buying the market, which means it is a bull market. Now we get to Steve's question, which is has to do with the specifics of the calculation for the a volume oscillator, which requires you to get an 18 and a 36-day exponential moving average of the net volume. And the origin of the differences in the calculations is where you get the data. The McClellan people, I believe, get the data for the up shares versus the down shares on the New York for the New York Stock Exchange stocks directly from the New York Stock Exchange, and I'm not aware of the source they use. But if somebody can find if you look at their posting and you see their numbers, they'll tell you what the numbers are every day. You can, if you find the source for me, I'd be happy to convert. But I use the Dow Jones figures, which is basically a composite tape, because some of the New York Stock Exchange stocks are traded off the exchange. And they are picked up by Dow Jones, which means Barron's, which also means Market Watch, because they're all in the Dow Jones family. And for good reason, you have to include them in the market auction technique, because even though they're not traded on the New York Stock Exchange, they are a respectable part of the auction process, and you have to be all-inclusive in order to get the data. I believe that it's just a difference that we're looking at two different sources, and as I said, if you can find out what the source that the McClellan people are using and it's available, you know, on a timely basis, I have to take this data down at the end of the day. So I usually just grab the one that's handy, which is always from the Dow Jones organization. But if you can come up with the other numbers, I could be happy to get it together. It doesn't make any difference about the zero line, though. That's the one place where they all come out to be the same. In fact, you can use the advanced decline oscillator or the volume oscillator, and they both will come out with a zero line pretty much the same. However, I think that the volume oscillator is better than the advanced decline oscillator in this extent. And if worse comes to worse, you can just go to the site there and take a look at their numbers. They come out right after the close. And if you don't have mine, that's how you'd find out what the zero point was for the buy that I just discussed, and that'll handle your problem, and perhaps somehow we'll get some further information on this, and then I'll be able to get the same source, and my data will come out with theirs. Okay, that winds up the commentary for today, and that's also my postings for today. I am doing some tutorials at another site, and I will be spending most of August in getting that up and running. And when I do, I will be able to answer, I think it was Rick's question that came in, and he says, where do you learn about the tutorials? Well, it's better if I put all the tutorials at this other site, and then when you go there, it's just tutorials, and that might make it simpler. So that's in progress for this month in August, and I'll deal with that in a later update. Thank you. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.